In our time remaining, let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to focus in on one verse of Scripture tonight as we begin a new series on Wednesday nights that will take us through into August, I'm sure. And the title of this series is, How Are You at Guarding Your Mind? How are you at guarding your mind? Yesterday I was listening around 6 o'clock p.m. to NPR in the truck as I was coming back from Office Depot, and they had Market Watch that was on. Now, Market Watch is supposed to be a financial program, but they didn't get to any finances. They spent the first 10 minutes talking about how wonderful it was that Governor Pat Brown had signed a law in California yesterday that had rewritten what marriage is. They had deleted the words husband and wife and substituted in there spouse and spouse. All right. Now, that opens the door for just about anything and everything. And it was commented on that that some critics had said that it's too bad that they didn't clarify what the word spouse means, because it is kind of open-ended. It could mean your favorite pet. It could be just about anything and everything, and they did that on purpose. And the commentators were almost giddy as they talked. I mean, they were just talking about what a landmark day this was in America, and we're just hoping that it spreads to other states, that this will catch on like a fire across the country. What do we have? Corrupted minds. Corrupted minds. I was reading recently on World Magazine Online. There was an interesting article that caught my eye by Marvin Olasky. But he was talking about the American mindset. And he was talking about how he had interviewed a mother who was espousing what she called full emergence of her child into alternative lifestyles at age 6. And she was talking about full emergence. She approached the entire subject if it was the greatest and most wonderful thing that she could ever do for her daughter. This is what she said. I wrote this down. I want my child to be fully aware of the alternatives that are out there. I don't want to determine for my child what she wants to be. Now here, self-determination trumps the reality of who I am. Now what the article went on to say was not talking about the job or career that the girl was going to have. It was talking about her sexual identity. She didn't want to put any influence as, if she didn't want to be a girl, then she didn't want to influence her in that way, even though she was a female. She felt, I don't want to influence her. If she wants to be a boy, then I want to encourage her to be a boy, if that's what she wants to do. The girl's age 6. Now, just a moment. Did not God already determine who she is and what gender she is? It's already determined. But today, the mind has been opened to any and everything. There are no walls or hedges anymore. Now, we used to have a moral foundation in the United States, and many people, even though they may not be Christians, respected the Bible. They had a measure of respect for the Bible, and they also had a measure of respect for morality. If women were around, men knew better than to curse around them. They just had that little bit of an internal watch in their mouth that they wouldn't do that around them. Or they knew that they should be in church on Sunday. That was just an accepted given in our country back in those days. There was some moral foundation even among the corrupt. But today, young people have been completely, with the public education system, have been completely stripped of any kind of moral foundation. And what's sad is it's happening in our churches today too. We are not allowing God to determine how we should think. We are saying to God, God, I've got some different opinions about things. And so they go to the Bible and they try to reinterpret it so it comes out to their way of thinking. Now, that's not how we are to approach the Scriptures. It's thus saith the Lord, not thus saith Todd about the Lord. Do you understand the difference? And we have got, especially in these days, and our young people, I'm very concerned that we are not putting in place, through the Scripture, hedges about our mind. I want us to look at this verse of Scripture, and we're just going to barely get started tonight. But I want us to look at verse 5, about what God has had to say. And on this yellow sheet here, I picked a color that will glow in the dark. All right? So if your light is out in your bedroom or whatever, you can still find this piece of paper. All right? But I want you to keep it close. I've put down 5 Bible verses that you need to memorize about the mind. These 5 Bible verses, I believe, will give you more instruction about how to keep your mind straight than, and there are many others I could have put, but I just picked 5. I didn't want to overwhelm you, but I wanted you to get 5. These 5 verses, I believe, will help you in regard to your mind and how you need to put a guard around it through the teaching of the Word of God. Now let's look at this passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against what? The knowledge of God. Now where do we learn about God? Well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to study that oak tree out there. And I'm going to get my own notions. Well, you're liable to come up with any kind of belief system. But where do we learn of God? From the Bible. From the revealed truth that God has given to us, we learn of God. And Jesus Christ says, if you want to know the Father, you better know me. Very important. So we're talking about the truth of God given to us in His Word. We're to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and what else are we to do? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now you want to know a verse of Scripture that is loaded with truth. It's this verse. You could spend almost a lifetime going word by word in that verse, learning what Paul is saying there. I mean, it is overwhelming. What you and I, now notice whose responsibility this all is. Did you notice that? Who is supposed to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself? Who is to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ? We are. We are by God's grace. It's our responsibility. It's not something we can pass off to somebody else. It's our responsibility. I know that new Calvinistic thought today wants to cast everything on God. God's got to do everything. But God's told us in His Word specific duties that we have as believers. Now, those in Christianity today are reinterpreting Scripture. They have taken it upon themselves that whatever the Bible says, there must be another interpretation. But I want us to look at the words that are shared here, and we're going to take just a few minutes tonight to look at some of these words. I want us to look at the first few words here, casting down imaginations. Now, the two words that are used there, the first word is logismus, and it's the word that we get logos from, which means word. We get the word logic from this particular word. It's a very important word, and we also get the word Lego from that word, the term for the children's toy, Lego. And the word means to compute, the act of computing, cognition, thinking. Is our Lord saying here that we are not to think? Not saying that at all. What He is saying here is that we are to think rightly. We are to think rightly. That takes us to the next word there that has the idea of overthrowing wrong computation. Now, we've talked about this before, this new Common Core math that's coming out now rewards students for getting the wrong answer as long as they thought they were doing the right thing. Now, you and I know that 2 + 2 = 4. But in Common Core math, if you come up with a different answer and you can explain what your thinking process was, you came up with 5. All right? And you can explain your thinking process. They give you the opportunity to explain that. They'll give you credit even though the answer is wrong because you explained the thinking process that was involved with your wrong answer. Now, that is the most foolish nonsense that I've ever heard in my life. We were talking about that. How would you like to have a bridge built by an engineer that just figured math on their own and they explained how they came to that? I remember David Padgett, who used to work on our air conditioners years ago, he said, you know, I've been given plans before that showed a plenum going right through a steel beam. And I've gone in there and I've said, listen, this isn't going to work. And said, we did the math. It'll work. He said, you've got a plenum going right through a steel beam. That's not going to work. And he said he argued with an engineer about it. And he said, well, we did all the things and whatever. There must be something wrong. And he laid it down there and he showed them step by step. You cannot take it through this metal beam. His math was wrong. He had done his calculations wrong. They had to go back and redo it again. Listen, we would expect that when we drove across for the very first time across that bridge that came down in Hurricane Ivan, that everything was correct. How many of you just assumed that when you drove over that? All right? Now, we just assumed. Now, that bridge zigzags all over the place. You got it zigzagging out, and then it comes back in because they had to work around the old bridge. But we just assumed that the engineers got it right. And so far, now, almost 8 years past the completion of that bridge, it's held up pretty good. Now, we haven't had any hurricanes, though, have we? We haven't had anything that's come in to test it. We thought the old bridge was fine, didn't we? But we found out it was too low. And when those waters came in, it just lifted them right up and dropped them right into the bay. And the bridges were ruined. Listen, we need to understand something here. God is telling us in these verses that we are to cast down wrong thinking, not entertain it, or try to develop it into something. We're to cast it down. That second word there is the idea of throwing down, demolishing, destroying. Dr. Hobbs used to say that if you ever wanted something tore down, just go get a kindergarten class. Bring it in there and say, give them about an hour and they'll have it destroyed within a few minutes. It's just something about kids. They pick things apart. We have to chuckle. We have to go in and fix stuff in the learning center. And it's an amazing thing. If a little piece of paint on the wall is loose, little fingers, eyes are immediately attracted to it, and they go over there, start picking at it. And before long, that little thing that you didn't even notice, the whole side of the wall is picked off. It's just amazing what kids can do. You know, the Tonka trucks that you think are indestructible are broken. Daddy, look at this, the wheel came off. Well, yeah, the wheel just came off, right? Well, they're out there hammering on it, and they got it off. Destructive. You and I have got to develop in our hearts and minds a mentality of destroying thoughts that are not right. That means we have to have a good defense, but we also have to have a good what? Offense. We got to have a good defense, which is the Word of God, but we also are required to have a good offense to go after. We have got to develop in our hearts and minds an antivirus system in our thinking, a firewall, as they're called. Wait a minute, that thought's not right. I've got to destroy that thought. Now, that is so foreign to most of how we think today, even in churchianity, if you want to call that. Well, we're willing to just about entertain anything that comes along. If something's snazzy and somebody comes in and they've got a PowerPoint and they've got some flashy materials, let's put them up here and let's see what they got to offer here. And people just ooh and ah. And before you know it, they've followed something that they ought not to be following. That's how churches fall, by allowing somebody to present their ideas instead of destroying that. Yes, I said it, destroying wrong thoughts. That's how we get into trouble. Let's go on very quickly here. How many believers are actively involved day to day in the destruction of wrong thinking? Is there any wonder why we are where we are today? We're not doing what God told us to do. We think, well, you know, that's a pretty good idea. Well, does it line up with the Word of God? Are we taking the time to find out? You know, I was reading just recently over in 2 Samuel about Absalom's crew, the men that he surrounded himself with. And the Bible says that they went on in their simplicity and knew nothing. Now, how would you like to have that said about you? They went on in their simplicity and they knew nothing. What had they done? They had been prompted to follow Absalom. Now, Absalom was a good-looking guy, okay? And he had a special hairdo that probably would have made him one of the Hollywood elites. And, you know, he was just somebody special. And they had a whole bunch of people that just started following Absalom, but they went on in their simplicity, the Bible says, and they knew nothing. They never asked the tough questions about Absalom. Where are you going, Absalom? Where are you taking this nation? What is your thinking? They never even got there. They just said, we're following him. Yes, we can. They probably had that. They probably ended up with that sticker way back in those days. Yes, we can. Absalom is our man. But they never asked the tough questions. Why? Because people don't like to think. And they especially don't like to think rightly so many times. We want to be awed. We want our emotions pulled at and tugged at, you know, and yeah, we got to get behind this man. Well, are you asking the tough questions? Listen, we have got to filter what's coming in today. If you don't filter your heart and mind with what is coming on today, I've talked to several pastors in the last week after this last projector went out that called, said, I need to talk to you about this new Calvinist stuff. I think I've got it in my church. And just to listen at those that have introduced it and they've got it in the church, and I said, brother, you're going to have to get it out or you're going to lose your church. It will take over. It's like a virus that'll take over the church. And I've had pastor after pastor call me and said, my children have gotten off into it. Pastor up in Kentucky, thank you so much for warning us. We've gotten wind of a couple of churches in our area that are now moving in a Calvinist direction and this new Calvinism and the worldly music that they brought in. And now we're understanding where they're coming from, and please keep that coming. What is wrong? Why are these people so accepting of anything new? Because they're not thinking biblically. They don't know their Bibles well enough to think biblically. And so I want to encourage you. I just want to finish with this. There's five scripture verses that I put on this piece of paper. I want you, by God's grace, you may already have them memorized, and that's wonderful if you do. But if you do not, you need to have them memorized. I'm going to read them to you, and then we're going to close with prayer, because I think this is important. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. What's the rest of that? Whose mind is stayed on thee. Yeah. Who is thee? It's God. Whose mind is stayed. Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Our passage that we read tonight, 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Lock your mind in on those things and don't be thinking other things. You can't entertain other thoughts. You have to cast those out. You got to get rid of those. And then finally, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And what's that last part? And of a sound mind, disciplined mind. A mind that casts out vain imaginations and a mind that clings to the truth. These verses will help us, I believe, if you've not already memorized those. And as we progress through our study here, we're going to get into the methods by which we guard the mind from the Word of God. But I just want to kind of whet your whistle tonight a little bit on this matter of the mind. We've got to pay more attention because we are seeing things passed off. We've got men today that are going off in all kinds of directions because they've left the simple understanding of this book and they've come at it with a different approach. They're coming at it with an allegorical approach. They're coming at it with a nuance. Well, it doesn't really mean that. It means this. And they interpret it through the culture. You will destroy your mind and you will follow things that you shouldn't follow. Just like that mother who's teaching her daughter that she can be anything she wants to be. If she doesn't want to be a girl, she can be a boy. She is filling that girl with horrible, unspeakable things that are contrary to this book. And what she's doing is she's guaranteeing the destruction of her daughter and of herself because she's opened herself to those ideas too. She's embraced the culture and her mind is unguarded and it will lead her places that she would never thought she would go. And oh, the shame and the horror and the terrible things that will happen when you open your mind to the devil and to his work. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Lord, we're living in very difficult days. We're watching the complete implosion of our country. We're watching the implosion of many churches that used to be good and sound and preach the whole counsel of God, but now they're preaching other things, the wisdom of men, philosophies of this world. And Lord, we've got to guard our minds. It's our responsibility. You've told us that we've got to cast out the imaginations that are not in keeping with your precious word. And Lord, I pray that you would guard our young people. Lord, I pray that you would prevent them from swallowing the lies of this culture. Lord, all of Hollywood, all of Madison Avenue, the rock culture, the music scene is geared to the destruction and the absolute taking over of the mind. And I pray that you would help our young people to know and to understand that they need to fill their hearts and minds with the truth, with the Word of God, and with the kind of music that honors Thee, so that they'll be in good stead and they won't journey down the road to hell and destruction. Father, I pray that you'd work in our hearts. We pray that you would undertake for our requests that were brought before Thy throne tonight. And we would ask, dear Father, that you might answer them according to your perfect will. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.